This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Thursday, January 21st, 2021. I'm Gail King with Anthony Mason and Tony DeCoppo. This is where we begin. All this pageantry shows the world how the peaceful transfer of power in America remains a powerful symbol of freedom and renewal. We're going to start with Weijia Zhang at the White House with the new president's path forward. Weijia, it was such a day. What a night. I'll bet this president is not sleeping in. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Gail. President Biden urged Americans to end what he called an uncivil war. And he spoke really bluntly about all the problems wrapped up in it. In his first act as president, he held a moment of silence to honor more than 400,000 people in the U.S. who have died to COVID-19. But there were so many moments of joy, too, as the celebrations went throughout the night.
As it has for more than 200 years, America once again displayed a peaceful transition of power. An epic fireworks show capped off the historic inauguration.
We have learned again that democracy is precious. Because of you, democracy has prevailed.
Newly inaugurated President Joe Biden addressed the nation last night from the Lincoln Memorial.
There isn't anything we can't do if we do it together.
And I'm feeling
the nighttime celebration brought together musical performances,
it's a new day,
tributes to frontline workers, and a taped appearance by three former presidents.
The fact that the three of us are standing here talking about a peaceful transfer of power speaks to the institutional integrity of our country.
We will be available in any ways that we can as citizens to help you guide our country forward.
Mr. Biden becomes president as the nation navigates several crippling crises, which he noted in his inaugural address.
We face an attack on our democracy and on truth, a raging virus, growing inequity, the sting of systemic racism, a climate in crisis, America's role in the world.
The president built his about 21-minute speech around what he sees as the solution, unity.
My whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause.
Just 2 weeks earlier, pro-Trump rioters attacked the very spot from which he spoke, a fact President Biden tackled head-on.
We must end this uncivil war. The pits red against blue. And I promise you, I will fight as hard for those who did not support me as for those who did. I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
The president took the oath of office with a 128-year-old family Bible that he has used many times before, having served as a Delaware senator for 36 years and vice president for 8.
Kamala Davy Harris.
Vice President Kamala Harris made history as the first female elected to the position and the first Black and South Asian woman, too.
So help me God.
So help me God.
The theme of bridging divides ran through the program, with poet Amanda Gorman stunning the crowd with her original work.
For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
The traditional parade route from the Capitol to the White House was only lined with police and service members, but the Bidens walked the last part of it so the world could see them arriving at their new home at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
And when President Biden made his way to the Oval Office, a letter from former President Trump was waiting for him on the Resolute desk. President Biden says he wants to keep the contents private for now, but described it as generous. This morning, he and Vice President Kamala Harris will participate in a virtual prayer ceremony that will be streamed nationwide. Anthony?
A lot of people would like to know what's in that letter, Ouija. Thank you. The new president got straight to work in a partially revamped Oval Office, signing a series of executive orders and actions. He's expected to sign 10 more today as part of an aggressive new effort to control the pandemic. Our senior White House and political correspondent Ed O'Keefe has the details. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Those executive orders are designed to expand access to testing and to vaccination programs across the country. And in another sign of how things are changing this morning, the new White House chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, addressed the World Health Organization, a group the United States is set to rejoin. His remarks came exactly 1 year to the day of the first confirmed case of COVID-19 in this country. President Biden's new nationwide COVID strategy includes getting 100 million vaccines into the arms of Americans by the end of April and safely reopening schools in the next 100 days. The Biden administration plans to set up vaccine centers at stadiums and community centers and to deploy federal personnel to help administer shots. Overall, Mr. Biden is expected to sign 10 executive orders today that, among other things, require mask wearing on planes and trains and establish a health equity task force focused on racial disparities. Mr. Biden and his staff got straight to work on day one.
And I thought with the state of the nation today, is no time to waste, get to work immediately.
In a redecorated Oval Office, the new president signed 17 other executive orders and actions, mostly rolling back President Trump's signature policies. They end the so-called Muslim travel ban, cancel the Keystone XL pipeline permit, and halt funding for the southern border wall. The U.S. will also rejoin the Paris Climate Accord.
These are just executive actions. They are important, but we're going to need legislation for a lot of the things we're going to do.
The administration is focused on setting a new tone.
We're going to be judged whether or not we restored the integrity and the competency of this government.
And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said there would be a return to regular briefings.
When the president asked me to serve in this role, we talked about the importance of bringing truth and transparency back to the briefing room.
Hello, Kathy.
President Biden also made his expectations clear to more than 100 new staff during a virtual swearing-in ceremony.
If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way the last 4 years. I'm going to make mistakes. When I make them, I'll acknowledge them, and I'll tell you, and I'll need your help to help me correct them.
Also this morning, the Department of Homeland Security is starting a 100-day moratorium on deportations and ending the Trump-era policy of requiring non-Mexican asylum seekers to stay in Mexico ahead of their court hearings. And an example of how the new president is re-engaging the world, the White House says that his first call to a foreign leader will be to our neighbors to the north. He's scheduled to speak with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tomorrow. Tony?
All right, Ed, thank you very much. In our next hour, we will talk with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki about the president's agenda. But for now, let's talk about the Senate, now controlled by Democrats. They confirmed the first of President Biden's cabinet nominees last night. Avril Haines will be the new director of national intelligence, the first woman ever appointed to that position. Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill for us, where the nominee for transportation secretary will have his confirmation hearings this morning. That's Pete Buttigieg. Nicole, what do we expect to hear?
Well, Tony, Pete Buttigieg will vow to work with Congress on issues like safety and infrastructure, but the pressure is on to quickly confirm the president's nominees. Now the Democrats have the advantage.
A changing of the guard in the U.S. Senate.
So help you, God.
I do.
Congratulations.
Democrats took back the majority as Vice President Kamala Harris swore in Georgia Senators Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, and her own replacement.
The chair lays before the Senate two certificates of election for the state of Georgia and a certificate of appointment to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of former Senator Kamala D. Harris of California.
Yeah, that was very weird. Okay.
With both chambers and the White House now in Democrats' control, party leaders have not indicated when an impeachment trial for former President Trump could begin. Instead, appealing for unity.
The Democratic majority will strive to make this important work bipartisan.
Our country deserves for both sides, both parties, to find common ground.
But the president's policy agenda may not be as widely embraced. From a new immigration package to a COVID relief plan, Republican Senator Mitt Romney is among those balking at the $1.9 trillion price tag to deliver new aid to struggling Americans.
We just passed a program with over $900 billion in it. I'm not looking for a new program in the immediate future.
Lawmakers are also at odds over whether to grant a waiver to defense nominee Lloyd Austin. The retired general needs the exemption since he's only been out of the military for a few years. The House is trying to fast-track a vote on it today to expedite his confirmation, but some are opposed, even though these types of waivers have been granted before. Gail?
All right, Nicole, thank you very much. The latest coronavirus numbers show the huge challenge facing President Biden on this pandemic. Yesterday, U.S. officials reported another 4,200 deaths. So that brings the official death toll to more than 406,000 people, 1 year to the day since we learned of the very first COVID-19 infection in this country. Now, efforts to slow the spread are starting to hit a wall, with some states running out of vaccine doses. Our lead national correspondent, David Begno, is in East Lansing, Michigan, with more on that story.
Good morning. We are at Michigan State University. This is where they do livestock shows and rodeos. But three times a week, they drive people through to get them vaccinated. They'd like to add a fourth and fifth day, but they don't have enough vaccines to do that. And that is not only the story here, but it's the story in other places around the country, with officials saying, we've got the people, we've got the logistics ironed out, just send us more doses. As vaccination sites get bigger and busier around the U.S., more elected officials are saying the same thing to the federal government.
Double, triple what you're sending us. We're ready to provide the vaccines.
That's the Detroit mayor, Mike Duggan. He says he has the full capability to get his city fully vaccinated in 3 months, but he's just not getting enough vaccine to do it.
We've got the convention parking structure where we could handle 25,000 vaccinations a week. And right now we're scheduling 6,000. We have Pfizer right up the street in Kalamazoo, and they tell us they've got vaccines the federal government hasn't purchased, but their agreement will let them sell them to the states.
So far, only 22 states and the District of Columbia have used more than half of the doses they've received. But remember, both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines require two shots. And to make sure they have that second shot set aside, some officials are halting new vaccinations. That's exactly what happened at Baptist Health in Miami. They canceled all appointments for their first vaccinations because their expected allocation did not arrive this week. In San Francisco, officials say they're going to run out of doses today. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says they have the capacity to vaccinate 300,000 people a week. But they're going to begin to run out of doses today, too.
We've had to tell 23,000 New Yorkers who had an appointment this week that they will not be able to get that appointment for lack of supply.
Rivka Press Schwartz was one of those who lost her appointment. Schwartz is a high school administrator in the Bronx.
It creates anxiety and maybe even a little bit of a sense of panic. I don't quite understand scheduling appointments for which you didn't have doses.
Fair point, right? One bit of good news, the territory of Puerto Rico says it is administering 100% of the doses it receives every week from the federal government. Back here in the state of Michigan, where we are this morning, you heard the Detroit mayor say Pfizer's right up the road. Pfizer could sell extra doses directly to the state of Michigan, but apparently the federal government prohibits that. According to the mayor, we reached out to Pfizer, but never heard back. Anthony, the Biden administration has said next month they will start shipping vaccines directly to community pharmacies around the country.
It's been so frustrating, David. Thank you. Anti-police demonstrators greeted the inauguration of President Joe Biden with violent protests in the Pacific Northwest. They burned an American flag and broke windows at the federal courthouse in Seattle. Others in Portland, Oregon, carried a sign reading, "We don't want Biden, we want revenge." They smashed windows and painted graffiti at the state Democratic headquarters. Witnesses say Portland police appeared to respond with tear gas and stun grenades. At least eight people were arrested.
Sorry to report that a helicopter crash in western New York has killed three National Guard soldiers. The National Guard says the Black Hawk medevac chopper went down south of Rochester last night during a routine training mission. Witnesses report that they heard sputtering sounds and saw the helicopter flying low to the ground just before it crashed in a field. There were no survivors. Officials have not revealed the names of the three troops who died. The local sheriff there, though, is calling them great Americans.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.